Greetings, Xenophiles. On this day in 1693, the first women's magazine, The Lady's Mercury, was published in London. It only lasted for four issues. Ahead of its time, I think. Today in 1907, the psychiatrists Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud met for the first time in Vienna, and I wonder what they talked about. In this day in 2018, Barbara Streisand revealed that she had cloned her dog twice. Yep. And happy birthday to Charles Street, who invented the automatic pop-up toaster in Minnesota. He's 147 years old today. Elizabeth Taylor would have been 95. And happy birthday to somebody still alive, Paul Humphries from OMD, 65 today. That's why you just heard Kleptocracy from the last OMD album, which I strongly recommend to you. It's great. Back on good form. Nothing interesting happened on this day in history. So we crack on. We have another guest who came. We had two French guests, and then we had two banking guests. So now we have Tolga Banyoku. Now, how do I pronounce your second name? Where do I stress the syllables? Banyoku? What is it?
No, it's actually Banyoju.
Banyoju. Banyoju. Say, I've learned something.
You know, we have separate letters for the C and you know.
Okay, Banyoju, Tolga Banyoju. Okay, originally from Izmir. We'll learn more about the story. The usual four chapters as we go through. But before we start the first chapter, the first question, everybody gets it. It's the hardest question of the whole night. Tolga Banyoju, who do you think you are?
Well, I am a simple guy. Heavy metal and rock. Music listener very intensely.
And player, come on.
And player. I'm trying to play now what I really like playing. Mm-hmm. I like listening, actually. I'm a person who likes basketball, among all the other sports. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate for knowledge. I'm running for it. I read whatever I can find. It doesn't matter. It's a book or it's a prospectus from a, you know.
If you've got some words in front of you, you're going to read them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting because that we'll speak about something later, which suddenly that all makes sense.
Really?
Yeah, something that you're doing now.
Because I was always joked by my friends about this, you know. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, you swat, you're just a bookworm.
Yeah.
That's the best way to learn. Read it in a book.
Yes, reading.
On a screen, but better in a book. Yeah, and then shall we start the story from the beginning?
Sure.
Let's do that. We go like this, we go.
Expat Life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
as the man said.
My childhood, yeah.
Yes.
You know, as you said, I was born in Izmir in 1977. Until 8 years old, we stayed there. I went to my primary school. I don't have too many memories from that, really. And after that, I stayed in the capital, Ankara, for 8-9 years more. My father was a military officer, so we traveled a lot. And we, you know, stayed many places.
Is it only the dumb Brits who think Istanbul's the capital?
Yeah, it's good that it's not the capital now, actually.
Right.
Yeah. And after that, you know, I stayed 3 years in Bursa, another ex-capital of Ottomans, let's say.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was in a boarding school at 3 years, and my parents were far away from the mainland, which were living in Cyprus at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, university, I came back to Ankara for 5 years. I stayed more, and then Istanbul, 6 years, and then here in Romania for 18 years already.
Right. Okay. Of 18 years already. Wow. Okay. So you're pretty settled then, I guess.
Yeah. My family is here. Everything is
right.
here.
Right. Let's go back. There are some clues in the notes that you gave. And one of them is Cyprus, and the other one is the garrison life. I'm guessing at least one of your parents may have been something to do with the military.
Yeah. My father was a military officer, and when we went to Ankara, we stayed in a military garrison. That was a very nice military garrison, I think, built by the US, Americans. Which was far away from the capital, but it had everything inside, you know, the nice houses, the school, the gym, and the swimming pools and stuff. My childhood was very nice because it was a very secure place. And
right.
I had many friends outside. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of playing outside, unlike the kids today. And until, you know, at night, very late hours, we had good friendships there. It was very nice. And also it really helped me develop a lot of skills that I still try to keep at that moment.
So when you were living on the garrison, did it feel, I mean, were you conscious of the fact that you were living in this sort of enclosed space? Did it feel like a holiday camp?
It was like a holiday camp, but, you know, it had also, being a military garrison, it really had some stupid regulations, like you cannot ride a bicycle, for example.
Hang on. That's cruelty, that.
It's cruelty, yes. I meet many kids and stuff. And, you know, we are always running away from the, you know, this military... How do you call them? I don't know, the police officers, you know, running after the kids. You are riding a bike and stuff. It was very stupid, actually.
That makes no sense, yes.
That makes more sense. They were saying that it was just to protect the kids, not to be under the cars and stuff. But, you know, the speed limit was 20, 30.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that was very stupid. It was one of the trauma that I always had. You know?
So did you ever learn how to ride a bike?
No, until I left the garrison, I didn't.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, from other perspectives, it was very nice. Green, free, whatever.
But they let you swim, right? They weren't concerned that you might drown. They still let you in the swimming pool, but not on a bicycle.
Yeah. And there's another stupid thing. Yeah. It was forbidden to play football, whatever, in the public area.
Well, and where else can you do it?
You can imagine that in front of our house, there was a big land.
Yeah.
And we were trying to play football there and then escaping from the... from the military guys. I mean, this was, you know, one way it's funny, one way it's cruel, you know. So
you were getting sort of junior court-martialed on a weekly basis.
Yeah. And, you know, imagine it's full of kids around.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, everyone is young. So it was like, hide and seek.
Yeah.
Were
you never tempted to go and check out some of the military hardware?
No, that part, we could have been shot, I think.
Okay, so maybe. Yeah. Best. So school, at this point, did you enjoy it? Were you just tolerating it?
Since I know myself, I've always liked knowing and learning stuff. So school was one of my favorite things, except the school itself. If you understand what I try to say.
The things you did in school were great. The place itself sucked.
Yeah. I always hated to be told to do something and in that manner, because I had the feeling that I was already able to grasp stuff. You know, I was already reading but it helped me a lot to develop friendships and other stuff.
Yeah, so you like to learn, just not so much to be taught.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Self-starter.
From that perspective, it's a boring place. Mm-hmm. It's like a factory. I don't like this type of very... When we are talking about human soul, I don't like to be, to be categorized, I know.
Artistic. You got to fly. There's definitely an artistic side to you, clearly. Did you... But this might preclude the next question, which was, did you prefer the sciences, the arts, the humanities? Did you focus on a particular thing at school, or were you just general, anything and everything?
I was always good at math and science. And that's actually also the path I followed during the school years, because I also, after the third and secondary grades, I went, it was with an exam, exam throughout all the country, and based on that, after that, I, you know, got the exam successfully. I went to a science high school, it is called.
Right.
So it's based on the principle that there are very limited people that can go and study there. And they are solely focusing on math and science in a way that they are raising Olympic people. That, you know, the questions and everything that were based on proofs. For example, I don't remember memorizing any formula in mathematics, for example. I know how to derive them.
Right.
But, you know, I never memorized. That helps a lot for questioning everything else.
That's the critical thinking thing. Yeah. And it makes perfect sense. And I'm with you, because I've got a terrible memory. But if I understand something, it's in forever. Yeah, and I can derive it and reverse engineer it if I have to. But ask me just to remember a formula, S equals UT plus half AT squared. That's about the only one I remember. It's acceleration and velocity.
If you repeat a lot of things, by nature, you keep it in the memory. Mm-hmm. But I never, had the, objective of memorizing that. But it was the main thing. So I learned critical thinking, I can say.
What was your favorite science? I mean, you know, okay, there are the main three, right? And then there are derivatives of them, you know. Okay, physics, chemistry, biology. If you ask me, chemistry is just like physics.
Yeah, it's like a chicken and egg. For me, it's the mathematics.
Right, the pure maths comes first,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Which everything boils down to at the end. This is the thing, I loved the physics and then I loved the chemistry. But then at one point, chemistry just seemed to be nothing more than one gigantic mathematical formula. And I couldn't keep up with the maths, which really annoyed me.
But, you know, and also then, you know, by the end of the high school, I was introduced to the physics, but, you know, theoretical physics.
Right.
I didn't study that, but it really was nice. And it also opened the way to for my interest for science fiction.
Right.
Like I started reading Asimov's and others, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was also another perspective.
Which is like, it all sounds, very similar to the way I was thinking at that age.
I'm very glad.
And what were you dreaming to be at this point? I mean, you know, you're thinking if you were, you know, growing up surrounded by the military, did you ever think that's what I'm going to do? Or
no,
do you already
hated that.
I'm going to be an astronaut, a lawyer, a doctor, a what?
That Garrison told me not to do.
Oh, okay then.
So, you know, I was very clear that, you know, no, I'm not going to be anymore in the military service, whatever. And I wasn't very sure about who I was then, you know, what I wanted then, until very late age, let's say, I can say.
Right.
But the path was already built, like, you know, because of the, you know, the subjects that I have chosen on the way. It always, in a way, showed, you know. Okay, looking at, you know, what I'm doing today, it's a little bit off. However, you know, who I wanted to be was always...
It's not completely parallel, though. Yeah, it's a little bit alongside, but it's in the same space.
Okay, we can say that. And also my interest...
A lot of numbers involved.
Yeah, numbers involved heavily, actually. My interest during university years towards visual art started. Mm-hmm. So I started reading about that. I was introduced and I came across with some nice writers like Gombrich. I started reading History of Art, you know, Art and Illusion.
Right.
And then, you know, psychology of it, how is the psychology of seeing and stuff.
That changes your perspective on a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started looking at stuff in a different way.
Okay, interesting. We'll take the story forward after we've heard some music, but before we play the first piece of music, I've never been to Izmir. If I go, what's the first thing I should look for?
If you go... You know, wait a little bit. It's going to be very hot, probably.
Okay.
So wait until the evening. Mm-hmm. Wait for the sunset. Mm-hmm. Go to the Kordon area. Kordon is where where the seaside is.
Right.
There are a lot of bars there. Pick one.
Like
take a cold beer.
Anyone
look at the sunset and just dream after.
I'll be there. I wonder when's the next flight. Yeah. sounds great. Right. time for your first piece. You pick some. You've basically just raided my iPod. With your music choices.
I'm very glad for that. I have a similar
Camel. This is a first. Camel, Raja, tell me why you chose this.
I mean, I'm very much, you know, when I was very young, I was very much interested in heavy metal, very tough heavy metal, you know, this Obituary, Sepultura's creator, whatever.
Yeah, which this is not.
This is not. Then I noticed that, you know, that's my teenagerhood. And then I noticed the progressive rock, something like progressive rock exists, you know. It comes from, okay, Pink Floyd's, King Crimson, you know, we started knowing that. And then I came across with Camel during my later ages, mm-hmm. 30s. And some of the things that... I mean, I cannot really explain, but when I hear it, it just, you know, there's a goosebump.
Right.
And this song is one of those ones. And, you know, yeah, you put it on already.
Yeah.
So it is like, you know, you just put it on in a night and you just close your eyes and dream of stuff.
Just drift away. It's very, very nice. It is a beautiful thing. Camel, Rajat, not all of it.
When the desert sun has passed, horizon's final light, darkness takes its place. We will pause to take our rest, sharing songs of love and tales of tragedy. The souls of heaven are stars at on our way until we meet again another day. When a poet sings a song, enchanted by the sound, we will mark the time as one, tandem in the sun, the rhythm of a hymn. The songs of heaven are stars that
around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life. With Tolga Banyoju. Did I get it right this
correct,
time?
Correct, yes.
Oh, better, okay, very good. Just before the break, we heard Camel with Rajaz, but we stopped it before it started to get to the really good bit. So you have to listen to the online podcast version of this show to hear all 8 minutes.
Yes, amazing solo, D sharp.
Yeah?
I mean, uh-huh. Use solo.
D-sharp, musician's clue there.
Yeah.
we'll explain a bit more about that later. Now, this is money, money, money. This is a... Okay, you finished your school. You did your university, what, where?
I was in Ankara. You know, in Turkey, you have to go through a general exam to mm-hmm. get through university. And I got... and I entered to Industrial Engineering, Middle East Technical University. I studied there for 5 years.
Right.
And then I graduated in 2000, so it's easy to calculate mm-hmm. the rest
okay.
For me. And then after that, I started working in a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So I just ended up after the studying engineering.
So how from an engineering did he get to a bank?
Well, in 2000, you know, and in my discipline, there were some, you know, and it's a top discipline and in a top school, and there were some few demanding jobs, let's say, that my, you know, the industrial engineers were going. One of them was consultancy.
Right.
Special technology consultancy, like Dan Accenture, Arthur Anderson, and so on and so forth. And second was FMCG, the retailers. Right. Uh-huh. Third one was the banks, and banks were popular in 2000.
Right.
And they were also demanding the, you know, very good students, and, you know, I chose the banking system.
Right.
I was also a little bit, you know, I didn't want consultancy, retail business. I didn't have any idea, FMCG. Mm-hmm. So I chose banking, and then so far I have come. Yeah. So far, you know.
So what does an engineer do on his first day in a bank?
So, you know, my discipline is basically putting everything in a mathematical format, simulation, any type of industry.
Right.
So I got into audit, and the demand was, you know, on the critical thinking side.
Auditing.
You know,
auditing.
And it really helped for me, actually, at the beginning, because I stayed there for 5 years, and in auditing, especially in a big group, big banking group, I managed to see all the, you know, components of a banking system, all the subsidiaries, mm-hmm. because we also had to go to the subsidiaries of it in different industries.
Right.
Portfolio management, asset management, I don't know, okay, the banking part, the branches and stuff, anything else that I had to, and I managed to see everything, and I learned a lot for the heart of the capitalist system in the bank. So now I had the full visibility.
So you get to really put your fingers in every slice of the pizza, and you know what's going on in every dark corner. Right?
That actually helped me a lot for the rest of the, you know, because after the audit, I left audit after 5 years, and all the rest was pretty much easier compared to a fresh starter, mm-hmm. let's say, I think.
So after auditing, after auditing, did anybody like not like you? Oh God, the auditors. Oh no, did they trust you?
there is actually, you know, that comment is a little bit correct, because no one likes auditors, you know, at that point. So, and you don't understand how people really think before you got into the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. So after 5 years, I started working in a payment system subsidiary of, my bank, my mm-hmm. group. And which is dealing with credit cards, POSs, you know, debit cards and stuff.
Which is much more complicated than you can possibly imagine.
And more complicated, more system work there, and more mathematical, and more flows and everything else. And I managed to work as an analyst and also, you know, for the core business. Mm-hmm. And then 2006, I think it was, December, we started the project in Romania.
Right.
To make the, you know, bank available here, visible here. And I came here in December 2006, and that's it.
And before the first work, the auditing work and the work you did before here was all based in Turkey?
Yes, all based in Turkey until 2006, 6 years
right.
in Istanbul.
And did you get to travel around much? I mean, with work or outside of it?
Yes, since I was an auditor, I wasn't that...
Oh, of course, you get flown around the place, don't you?
Yeah, you know, and Turkey is, you know... long country rather than, it's a big country, but long, you know, not
wide.
Like compact. So from east to west.
Some time zones, right?
Time zones and also cultural differences, mm-hmm. Food differences, anything, everything changes. Mm-hmm. You know, the accents change. A lot of ethnicities sometimes change, you know, and it's quite an experience. Actually, it was good for me to know the people of my own country.
So you visited every part of the map, basically?
Almost. Yeah. I wasn't that lucky to visit everywhere because there were some colleagues of mine which were, you know, it's like their job was traveling. I was more I stayed a lot on the head office as well, you know, in the center, in this town, because I was also dealing with also sometimes in technical infrastructure because I was an engineer.
Okay. Right.
So there was also a unit established for that. Mm-hmm. But when I traveled. I traveled to southeastern Turkey, northern Turkey, the middle, you know, the midsection like Ankara, and southern Turkey. I mean, it was a nice experience.
So apart from Izmir, what was your favorite bit? Favorite, if you had to go back somewhere in Turkey, and Izmir is off the list, right? Because that's the obvious first choice. Where would you go?
Muğla.
Oh, where?
Muğla, where Bodrum.
Ah, okay.
Dalyan, that area is.
Okay.
So that, I mean, I'm a Mediterranean person.
Yes.
I had to live in an agency, agency, you know.
Right.
I really like the environment and the people, mm-hmm. and the food and, you know, everything, the aura there, you know, everything mm-hmm. else. But, you know, I think that will be my first choice, not to go that south, Antalya, Adana. It's very hard for me.
Okay.
I lived in Cyprus. I know what it is.
Uh-huh.
So that region, south, west, is very... will be very recommendable for everyone.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And traveling, you wrote down in here and I highlighted this, Edinburgh is your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you go there? Why? And why did it become your favorite? I totally agree with you, by the way, but...
So you're also from Northern. But in 2002, I think, when I was in Istanbul, mm-hmm. I traveled to England, to London, mm-hmm. for... not for business, for occasion, for just to travel. And in one of the weekends, we said that, you know, because I was with some friends, mm-hmm. let's take a bus and go to Scotland. We want to see the Highlands.
Right. That's quite a journey by bus.
Yeah. I mean, you take on the bus at night. Mm-hmm. There is no number on the ticket. So yeah. You have to find whatever you find. And it takes a couple of hours. You sleep on the bus. You get off it was directly Edinburgh, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we get off there. Everything is closed at 5 o'clock except Starbucks, and we went to go to Starbucks Street, you know.
Yes.
And then immediately, without sleeping, we went to the tour operators, mm-hmm. and we got on the bus and we went to Loch Lomond.
Ah, the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
In the middle of August, it was totally foggy.
I'm in Scotland.
But you know, my favorite weather is not the most sunny weather.
Right, okay.
My favorite weather, because of, I think it keeps me, you know, from the songs that, you know, mm-hmm. you'll understand.
Yeah.
My soul is a little bit dark. There's a dark side of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Loch Lomond, I visited, and I came back to Edinburgh and visited the city. It's like a fairy tale.
Right.
I saw Prague.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't want to, I mean, it's also a very nice city. I saw Rome. It's also a very nice mm-hmm. city. But Edinburgh, like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
You know, it has a soul, it has a character. I saw it even to the cemetery, David Hume cemetery.
Right.
It is, you know, the philosopher. I mean, that's an extremely nice city. And it's really matched my soul in that moment.
Did you have any problems understanding the locals?
You know, when I first went to London, not to Scotland, but I thought I knew English.
But it's not. They don't speak it in London.
And I tried to enter a bar in mm-hmm. London, and I spoke with the bodyguard there. He told me something I didn't understand.
Right.
A couple of times we went, and then we saw inside what's going on. There was a private party. He was trying to tell us there's a private party.
Okay.
We didn't understand. So yes, I had difficulties, but not in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
In London, actually, I had a difficulty.
Okay. Time ticks by. We got to play your second piece of music now. And this unmistakable start. I mean, you know, why did you choose Pink Floyd?
You set the, you know, subject as the work,
mm-hmm.
And I chose something comparable.
Okay, so we spoke about money, 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 and you end up with money. Is this your favorite Pink Floyd song, or did you pick it because it fits?
I picked it because it fits.
What is your favorite Pink Floyd song?
There are two.
Yeah.
One of them is Time.
Oh, yes, okay.
The second is, actually, let's say there are three. One of them is Time. Second, Shine On You, Crazy Diamond.
Uh-huh.
And third one is Hey You.
Oh, yeah. Good choices, gotta say. Let's hear a bit of money.
Get back, I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. Money, it's a hit. Don't give me back to
to hear the whole of this song in its entirety in the full glory, you've got to hear the online version of this show, which will be online later. But for now, we're going to... Carrefour would like us to hear some Alternosfera.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla. Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Exotic.
Exotic.
Fancy a cheese sandwich now. Welcome back, Expat Life. Tolga Baniociu. Right, this is the chaotic, quixotic, exotic part, supposed to describe Romania. So this is about, you came here to set up the subsidiary of a bank. Tell us more. You're allowed to mention the bank's name, by the way. It is
okay. Anyway, it's going to be seen. I'm working for Garanti, BBVA. And in 2006, it was a group decision to, you know, it was a branch here. And to make it a universal retail bank. Mm-hmm. And there was a project team established in Istanbul. I was part of it, responsible for the retail area.
Right.
And I came in 2006 for that purpose. Mm-hmm. We worked hard in 2007, you know, 2006, 2007, until 3-4 o'clock every night, you know, waking up early, coming back. I mean, it was, of course, we were young then. We could hold it.
You had the energy to, those were the days.
It was a successful one in 2007 and on. Now we are already, you know, let's say we have grown a lot from that perspective.
Yeah.
Thanks to the, you know, the all project teams, all the people there worked very hard and, you know, put the pillars on.
And you're still in touch with those. You form a bond during such an intense project.
Yeah, I mean,
project,
some of them are still here. Mm-hmm. Some of them are still in Romania. Some of them are, of course, living in Turkey, and some of them are... or left the bank at all, you know, they got retired and stuff. But, you know, we are still keeping in touch. It was a good crew, and it was very fun work to do, to be honest. And of course, you know, that was another fun work. You know, there was, you know, we were in a place at the very beginning where there was a club also downstairs.
Which club?
It was Gaia.
Ah, right, okay.
Okay. So, I mean, we were working at the 3-4 o'clock and we were almost going to go to sleep, but, you know, there's a club starting there at the weekend, so...
can't walk past the club on your way home, but we're not going in.
You remember those fireworks, uh-huh. firefighter places, you know, yeah. that you go just, you know, with a pole. With a pole. it felt like that. down there. So, we also had fun. Let's say because we needed to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it was a crazy job. So far we have come, you know, to one of the big groups here. So we established a lot of branches. Mm-hmm. We grew. A lot of people came. A lot of people left. Mm-hmm. From, I don't know, 50, 60 people at the beginning from a branch. Now we are more than 1,200 people.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, it was a nice experience. It has been a nice journey, yes.
Big old thing. So, as you mentioned, everyone comes... to form a team to do this intense work to set this stuff up, right? And when it's all done and my work here is done, some people disappear, some people don't. You didn't. Why?
Well, the job I did was related to retail banking.
Right.
There are some part of the retail banking. One of them is business, one of them is because you are granting credit mm-hmm. part, collection part and stuff. The management here asked me if I want to stay because they will need more on the experience side. Right. So I said... I will stay because I was 30 years of old, I think. Mm-hmm. I was 30 years old. And then I had, you know, not really anything binding me in Istanbul. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I didn't like living in Istanbul then because of the crowd. Anything, because you can be a tourist in Istanbul, you can really enjoy mm-hmm. yourself. But living there is a bit difficult.
Right.
Also, I really like the country since I stayed here then maybe 2-3 months already. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I came to Romania then. It really amazed me even then. You know, it's the people here, the green, you know, mm-hmm. the environment,
yeah.
the calmness of people, you know, everything. It was very nice.
And Bucharest as a city, I mean, okay, you can't compare it to Istanbul just in sheer scale, but it's got the craziness and it's got the energy and it's got the vibe, but it's also compact enough that yes. you can just hop out of it quite quickly.
Yes, quite correct. The place I lived in Istanbul was okay, you know, I was uh-huh. very central. And also I had, you know, there's only one thing I was missing, the liveliness of the cultural life,
right?
And, you know, in Istanbul, because I was always going to the film festivals, movie mm-hmm. festivals, music festivals, you know, it was very close to me. Here, because of the language barrier at the very beginning, I was a little bit outside mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are 1 hour away.
Right.
So I was compensating at the very beginning too with the journeys. But after that, I also got the language and, you know, mm-hmm. So I learned it. I met with the locals. And
one in particular
a lovely lady, of course. Now I married, you know, my wife.
Was it instantly like that?
Almost. And it was 8 months after I came here.
Yeah. They work fast, these Romanian women, don't they?
It was very quick. And I never regretted that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have two lovely kids, a lovely person.
Excellent. Yeah. What are their names? What are all three names?
Gina is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
My son is the older one, 9 years old, Ares, mm-hmm. you know, the god of war.
Right.
Second is Freya.
Okay.
You know, the uh-huh. goddess of the yeah. Saxon, you know, the Nordic. So we put the names a little bit from the mythology.
Nice. Hello, children. Now, you finished setting up and then you stayed to do what?
I was responsible on the retail side, of course, when I was, mm-hmm. let's say, a professional with. And it stayed like that until 2012. After 2012, I changed my responsibility inside.
Mm-hmm.
There was a new, let's say, division established because it was growing, the bank was growing, and our CEO changed and they established a strategic and financial planning, mm-hmm. budgeting,
mm-hmm.
and like with the CEO office, so I, you know, took the responsibility at that moment. So then in 2000, for 10 years, I did that job. And then 2021, we had a subsidiary. Also consumer finance. I took over the company.
Right.
As a, you know, mm-hmm. as John mentioned. And then 2023, I think, I came back to the bank as, you know, as a deputy general manager, responsible for digital banking mainly.
Right.
And also insurance, marketing, mm-hmm. PR. But now we are dealing with a big transformation inside, making digital, you know, the new thing, new hype, digitalization of the bank. Mm-hmm. So we are at the core of it.
You mentioned in your notes that you're very fascinated in studying it about with AI. Is yeah. this just for fun, or is this really a serious part of what
Both.
You're doing?
Both, actually. It started with, you know, I always said that I was very much into visual arts. Mm-hmm. I always was fascinated with photography, mm-hmm. and also the artistic, you know, history of the humankind. And I was doing photography. And also 1 year I studied cinema in Istanbul, based on my own interest. Mm-hmm. And since when this AI thing started, I understood that, you know, I can combine my skills, or, you know, I can develop my skills in both, mm-hmm. you know, the mathematical and other development sides, which I'm using also on that mm-hmm. moment, but also on the visual side, uh-huh. which I started immediately developing video clips, movies, images, and I'm trying to combine them now at that moment. And it has become a little bit easier mm-hmm. compared to, because I started photography with analog, my cameras. It was very hard to...
expensive.
It's expensive. It was very hard to develop.
You had to think before you pressed the button. There were no preview.
Yes.
There was no erase.
Exactly. And you didn't know what's going to come out.
Correct.
It also depends on the developer itself, uh-huh. you know, how it develops. Anyhow, mm-hmm. with digital cameras, I a little bit, resisted for many years. I got the camera after 2 years.
Yes.
I got the camera. Mm-hmm. This thing started.
Now you don't use it because now you use the phone instead.
Yeah.
I mean, how many trillions of photographs must be taken a day now?
I don't know, really, most probably. And now, actually, you don't need to take anymore. You are just generating it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is the interesting part of it. I will not say good or bad.
Well, we'll see.
It's a different thing.
It's totally what you do with it. What about the guitar?
Yeah.
What are you playing? I see you share a guitar teacher with my friend Leandro.
I noticed yesterday, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Marius, who's got this unique skill that he can teach guitar by Zoom. And play along with you in time. It's astonishing. I've witnessed it. And how does he do that? I don't know. What are you learning now?
He's a very talented person. He's a very good friend, mm-hmm. I really can say. I'm learning, you know, as I said, I want to learn whatever I like listening to.
Okay.
I'm not into anymore this shredding the guitar. I'm more interested in the blues and rock and, you know, mm-hmm. some soft 80s. Not that soft, but, you know, 80s rock.
But with Marius, I'm guessing you're getting Foo Fighters and U2 and Oasis a lot.
Actually, with Camel, you know, that you played, he learned from me. He got from me. And then
excellent.
He got the music and he taught me how to play it.
Brilliant.
So we were working on Pink Floyd, some mm-hmm. blues songs, some Guns N' Roses, a little bit of Deep Purple. So now we are working on them, let's say. Deep Purple, for example, the Smoke on the Water classical, then a Blind Man Cries.
I'll tell you off air the story about Smoke on the Water. It's time to play
the Romanian.
Already, now we can speak a bit over this. It's got a long start. Some cargo. Why did you choose this particular piece?
Well, we talked about Romania, and for me, this is the best representation of Romanian rock music. And I really like Kempes' voice, mm-hmm. the deep throat, you know, that voice. It really, again, goosebumps. I cannot explain how much. And this song, how it is played, the melody, the harmony, is really astonishing for me.
Okay. Shall we hear it? Let's see a little bit of it, because the clock's ticking, but let's see what we can do.
Azi e ziua lor, ziua e de la vrăjitoarelor până-n zori. Iată
As always, hear the whole song online later.
Expat Life, made in Bucharest, Romania. Heard all over the world.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Here we go, Expat Life. Next chapter, last chapter of the show, is basically with Tolga Banyochu. What's happening next?
Well, at this moment, you know, I have two small kids, 9 and 6.
Everything's geared
going around them, yeah.
Right.
And my first priority is, you know, to provide them as much as possible.
What do they like to do?
My son is going to basketball, of course.
Right, okay.
You know, inheritance, a little bit of a push, but at this age, it's normal. And he goes to piano now. He's he's learning music. Mm-hmm. We'll see what he's going to be doing after. My daughter, 6, she just started his activity career. Let's say she's now at the gymnastics, classical.
Okay.
To have the, you know, skills for the, you know, for sports and swimming, of course, both of them. That's all for the time being.
So basically, I'm thinking with your guitar and your photography and taking the kids to all of the things they do, that's your free time wrapped up, right?
Exactly. And imagine that we are both working, and there are two, and not all the activities are aligned. So actually, we are pretty much busy.
Yeah, as I said, as
my second job is being a driver.
Right.
It's also my wife. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, and so you intend to stick around here, or do you? I mean, you said you were traveling back to Turkey regularly. Are you still doing that?
No, not anymore. For a couple of years, especially after COVID period, and everything went online. Yes. Mm-hmm. Even for the meetings and stuff, we don't do that way anymore.
FaceTime your family is much easier.
Yeah, and also thanks to my mother, I really have to thank her. She's coming to take over care of the kids. From Izmir.
Excellent.
She just left actually 2 days ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and we are also having this type of travels back and forward from their side. So for me, there has been no need for Izmir. I want to go to Turkey, except summer holidays. Summer holidays, we go to Izmir for windsurfing.
Right.
My son also started windsurfing with his mother. I experienced this when I was young, but not anymore at this moment.
Yeah.
It's a very nice place to windsurf.
Young man's game, I think.
Yeah.
I can never do it. I can never stand on anything that's not on the ground. So, yeah, surfboard,
but you should try. You'll be amazed.
Yeah. I tried. Trust me.
Really?
I just got wet. gravity. Or I can't stand up against gravity. Gravity always wins.
Well, that's what the sail is for.
Yeah. That's where I was going wrong.
You can use kite also.
Yeah. Okay. I'll try that. Yes. Very excellent. You know what? We're out of time. We have to let these noisy people over there come in and get behind the microphones. So, in a nutshell, another unmistakable song from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Why?
Thank you very much.
Why did you pick this?
Why?
Yeah. I mean, of all of the Deep Purple, you know, catalogue, this one.
Well, Child in Time is, I think, a story of everyone.
Right.
So also, if you look at the lyrics and stuff, and it's a music that puts you in the space and lets you wander around the planets. That's actually how I feel when I listen to this one.
Okay. I hadn't thought about it like that, but I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. So let's just sit back and again hear not all of it because of time, but get the online version and the full.
To this and previous shows, find us at expatlife.ru.
That's where you'll find the whole thing.
Child in time, you'll see the line that's drawn between you. Taking toll. If you've been bad, oh Lord, I bet you have. And you've not been hit by a flying lead. You'd better close your eyes.
Stay tuned for Uman Rial. Young minds, fresh ideas.
Expat Life.
You mobs, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.